Welcome to Water Wars. Obviously, so good to be here tonight. You know, tonight we're in the middle of our series called Identity Crisis. And if you're with us for the first time, this whole series is all about finding out who we are. Because we figured out if we can find out who we are, it'll actually change the course of our life. It'll change who we become. It'll change what we do. And so we're really excited that you're joining us tonight. It's crazy the difference a week can make, though. I don't know if you were like me, but about a week and a half ago, I was sitting there and I was watching the Cavs go down 3-1. And I was watching it happen. And I was thinking, oh, man, this is not good. You know, Cavs made it here again. They finally did it. They have the chance for revenge, but then they're just blowing it, man. They're just terrible. Like, they're losing by a lot of points, like 30 points. You know, it's crazy. I'm like, oh, this is nuts. You know, and the reason that most of us, some of you actually kept hope, but the reason most of us lost hope in the Cavs was because they went down 3-1 of the Warriors. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with NBA history, but how this kind of works, but previously there had been 32 teams that had gone down 3-1 in the NBA Finals, and how many of them came back? Anybody know? Zero, right? But then there was the Cavs. And let me just say this, that the Cavs not only were fighting against that history, but they were fighting against the history of Cleveland, right? Cleveland hadn't won a championship in any major sport in 52 years. Kind of, the odds were against the Cavs, am I right? But see, then, a week and a half later, on Sunday night, we're sitting there, and I'm in a room, and I'm full of Cavs fans, and they all began to celebrate because the Cavs had just done something that nobody else had ever done. They had become the first team out of the 33 that had been there to actually come back and win it. See, the Cavs did something that captivated all of us, and actually, I think you guys should thank me because I grew out my rally mustache. It was a rally stash, and I am pretty sure that this broke the curse. So you can make donations to the rallystash.gofundme.com. Yes, thank you. See, the thing the Cavs did is the Cavs made history. They made history. They did something that no one else had ever done. You know, I was sitting there and I was watching and I was thinking about it and I was like, you know what? There's something inside of me when I watch these guys do something that nobody predicted they would do. Something inside of me kind of makes me feel like, hey, I kind of have this desire to make history too. I kind of have this desire to leave the world different than I found it. And I would guess that maybe you've had those same thoughts before. Now, maybe you've never used the language of change history, but maybe for you, the language or the terms you've used would be like, I want to be great at this. I want to live a life that matters. I want to live a life that is significant, that means something. This is a desire all of us have. We all want to make our mark. And most of the time, what we do is we begin to follow our dreams or our talents and our gifts, and we start to follow all of those things that we're so good at. And our hope is that if I can just become the best player at basketball at my school, eventually I will be a success. And eventually I will get to that place of success and I will finally be significant. I will live a significant life. And the only thing is, when we follow the lives of people who are doing the most successful things, what we're finding is that they're not really satisfied with significance. They're not really satisfied with their success. They're not really satisfied with the lives they're leading. In fact, some of the people who have the most followers on Twitter feel the most lonely. And some of the people who you could recognize their face all over the world, or you could sing their songs, or you could quote their movies, they don't have the life, their family life, that is all messed up. It's everything is out of whack. See, I sometimes wonder if as we pursue this uncommon difference that we want to make in this world, if we take a common road to get there, and sometimes I wonder if the common road to uncommon is not so correct. Sometimes I wonder if the common way that everybody else is trying to get there is actually the right way to get there. Maybe that's a question that we should all be asking ourselves, of, am I pursuing the things that will make me live a significant life? I want to look to someone to answer this question who lived thousands of years ago. His name's Timothy. Now, you may never have heard of Timothy, but Timothy lived almost 2,000 years ago, and Timothy lived in Central Asia. He lived in Greece. He was actually a Greek guy. He was a great guy, Greek guy. And Timothy was somebody who was mentored by a guy named Paul. Now, you've probably heard of Paul if you've ever been anywhere near church or you've ever grown up in church, or maybe, you know, you've heard of him as St. Paul. But Timothy was a guy who actually followed Paul around everywhere he went. And what we know about Timothy is Timothy was actually pretty young. We don't know exactly how old he was throughout his time following Paul, but we know that Timothy was probably a young adult. And so Timothy is going around the world, and he's actually making this huge difference everywhere they go, in Asia and in Europe and all these amazing places. And so in the midst of this, in 66 AD, Paul actually writes Timothy this letter. It's his second letter to Timothy, and so we call it 2 Timothy. And so in this letter, Paul actually describes to Timothy how to become someone who lives a significant life, how to become someone who makes a difference in this life, how to become someone who is truly successful. But the way he does it, he uses this really weird analogy. He kind of starts talking about your house dishes. He starts talking about your cups and your plates and your, you know, your serving dishes. But I promise Paul's not going to give you an etiquette lesson. But here's what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says, in a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. I want to pause for a second, because when I was growing up, my grandparents, we would go to their house each and every Sunday. Like every Sunday, we were at my grandparents' house. And my grandparents had this amazing house. It was in Sylmar, California. It was up on this little hill. And in their backyard, they had this amazing pool and this jacuzzi. And it overlooked this whole ravine. And it was this amazing backyard. They had this incredible inside. And the thing was, they got it so cheap because they bought it in the 60s. And in the 60s, man, you could basically, they would pay you to take houses. You know what I mean? That's how cheap things were back then. And so they had this amazing house. And we would go up there each and every week. And we would go to my grandparents' house and we would hang out. And I grew up in a family, I don't know if your parents are like this, but I grew up in a family where we were not allowed to even look at sugar. You know what I mean? We were not allowed to look at anything unhealthy. Like, my mom had us eating so healthy, and so when we would go to grandma's house, let me just say, this is the best way I could relay this to you, is that I had Lucky Charms coming out of my ears. Like, I mean, we were eating so much junk food. In fact, I actually remember my one of my older brothers, we would eat so much stuff. I mean, we would eat so much fried, oily, sugary goodness. I remember him actually on multiple occasions going home and throwing up. Like, I mean, we were eating so hard. Like, we were going for it, you know? And it was awesome. And then on Monday morning, we felt terrible. And it wasn't a surprise. On Monday, we took a lot of sick days. But in my grandma's house, there was this one little cabinet. Not little. It was kind of a big cabinet, actually. There was this one cabinet that she had that was called a china cabinet. And I don't know if you're familiar with china cabinets. Your mom might be. She might have one. Chances are, here's what happens with a china cabinet. It just stays there. Nothing, like nothing ever happens with a china cabinet, right? Because in this china cabinet, there's these really, really nice plates and these really, really nice dishes. And there's these things that cost a lot of money. And it's only used on certain occasions. In fact, in my entire childhood, I can only remember twice a year that they would pull those out. And that was on Thanksgiving and Christmas. They would pull out these really, really nice plates. They would pull out all this stuff. The rest of the time, we were eating, you know, our cereal out of, you know, plastic bowls. I mean, it was just a normal house. But twice a year, for special occasions, they had these amazing, nice china plates, bowls, serving dishes. And to relay to you what Paul is saying, Paul is telling Timothy, he's saying, look, in this life, there are people that are going to be used for common things, and there are people who are going to be used for uncommon things. There are going to be people who settle for things that are less than what they were made for. And there will be people who we look back on and say they got everything they could have out of life. They were special. And so Paul says there are two types of people in this world. And if you're like me, when Paul starts saying something like that, I start instantly thinking this. Am I one of the common ones, or am I one of the uncommon ones? Am I one of the people that is going to just be live an ordinary life and kind of just do everything mediocre, or am I going to be somebody who's used for special use? How do you know? How can you tell? Right? Don't we all have this desire? No, wait, my life's supposed to mean something. Well, Paul goes on to explain to Timothy the difference. He goes on to show him, how can you tell if someone is called to a special life and if someone is going to settle for less? This is what he says. It says, if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean. and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. I'm going to read that again because I think it's so important. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. He goes on to say this: run from everything that stimulates your youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. This is what Paul is saying. If you want to know the difference between someone who's going to live their full potential, that's going to make a difference in this world, between someone who's going to settle and live a common life, the difference between the uncommon and the common, it has nothing to do with extraordinary ability. It has nothing to do with how talented they are. It has nothing to do with where they were born or what situation or what kind of context they're alive in. The thing that will allow them to live a significant life is if they fully devote their hearts to God. If they live a life that is fully devoted to God and to his way. In fact, you could say it this way, that the difference between uncommon and common is not talent, but devotion. The difference between uncommon and common is not talent, but devotion. And this is really good news for those of us who are not LeBron James, who are not 6'9 and can jump over a mountain. This is really good news for us who are not Adele, who, like, our pipes are just golden and everything that comes out of them is just magical, right? This is really good news for us, those of us, especially me, who are not Einstein. Like, I am not Einstein, obviously. And those of us who just don't have incredible gifts and talents in every single way, because God is saying to us through Paul, he's saying, look, the difference between you being great in this world does not have anything to do with how talented you are. Does not have anything to do with that. There's people that are so talented that are not living out their full significance. They're not living out their life to the purpose they were created. Paul is saying, and I believe he's saying not only to Timothy, but to us, that if we want to live a life that means something, that we have to give our lives fully to God. We have to devote ourselves to the way he wants to do things. And what's so cool about it is he says, in a community of people. And Christians, we know this, right? Because we know we're supposed to live kind of good, and we know we're not supposed to do certain things. We know we're supposed to do certain other things that we're supposed to do. But here's why God is saying, I want you to do this. Because God wants to take our ordinary selves, and he wants to do extraordinary things. In fact, you could say that God loves doing extraordinary things through ordinary people. Why? Because when God does something through me and through you, and we're just normal people, but we've devoted our lives fully to him, he gets the glory. He gets all the glory. And let me just say this. You may not be the most gifted and talented person you know. In fact, most likely you're not. But that should be good news, because God is saying, look, if you want to live a life that means something, then give yourself fully to me, and I will cause you to live a significant life. I will cause you to change not only the world, but your world. And guys, this is amazing for us. And what I love is that Paul, he goes on to say, hey, it's not just about you doing this by yourself, but it's you doing this in a community of people who are all doing the exact same thing. And guys, if you wonder why it matters that we get together, and if you wonder why it matters that we preach all about, hey, you need to know the people on your right and your left, and you need to be doing life with them, it's because we believe you are called to push one another to greater heights than you could have ever imagined. The person sitting next to you is actually called to get the most out of you, and you're called to get the most out of them. This is the reality of what God wants to do in our hearts, in our lives. And guys, my encouragement to you would be this. It's so simple. It's, please, don't settle for the common. Do you see how it said pursue? Just run away from the things of the youth, like youthful lust and the desires of this world. Don't settle for common things, but just by going after the things that everyone else is going after. The things that are only temporary, the things that only last for this life. But please, search and find what God wants to do in your life, things that will matter for eternity. Because if you do, I really believe that if uncommon people get into uncommon community, that they can bring about uncommon change. I don't know what desires are on your heart. I don't know what God has burdened your life with. Maybe there's things that every time you look at that, you think that needs to be different. Guess what? That's probably a good clue into what God has called you to do in your life. If you look at things and they make you upset and they make you angry, man, that's what it is. I remember Christine Kane, she would look at the sex slave industry and how people were being bought and sold into those things, and that broke her heart. And because of where her heart broke, she decided to do something about it. She devoted her entire life to not only what God was doing through her, but to rescue these young girls who were being sold into this. Sometimes we have to look at the burdens of our heart to see what God wants to do through us. And I believe this about each and every one of you, that you are called to something extraordinary, not because of all of your gifts and talents, but because God has called you to live an uncommon life. Let's go ahead and pray. I want to pray tonight just specifically for some of you who maybe feel like you've been living a life that has been settling, or maybe you've been falling short. You've been selling yourself short a little bit. Guys, I want to encourage you that some of you, you have such an amazing destiny in front of you. You have such a great destiny in front of you. But the difference between you getting there and not getting there is not about how hard you try. It's about how fully devoted you are to God. And if you've never made a decision in your life to make Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never made a decision in your life to devote everything you have to him, I want to tell you that there's some great news for you. Jesus said, if you are willing to give me everything, if you're willing to give me everything you got, all your dreams, all your talents, all your gifts, you submit it to me, I'm telling you this, I will give you salvation. I will set you free, not only for this life, but for eternity. I will give you a life in heaven with me. I will give you a relationship with me. And in those areas where you've been falling short, I will be there with you. I will walk you through it. If you're someone who could quite honestly say to yourself that you've never made that decision or that commitment to a devotion to a life that is fully committed to God, then I want to give you an opportunity tonight to do what so many people here have already done. In fact, man, it's so cool to hear the stories of each and every life that God has been changing and molding and using for his glory. And so tonight, if that's you, we're going to pray a prayer. And here's what I want to encourage you. I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Everyone else is going to help you out, but I want to let you know that as you pray this prayer, that it's not just about the words you're saying, but it's about the heart you're saying them with. So, Paramount, even if you've already prayed this prayer before, can you help me and just repeat after me? Say this. Say, Jesus, I need you. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I need a Savior. Tonight, I make a decision of devotion to commit my life to you. Become the Lord of my life. With every head bowed, every eye closed, here's what's so cool. The Bible actually says that if you pray that prayer, mean it from your heart, that God actually did this amazing process on the inside of you where he created you into a new person. It's called being born again, or it's called being reborn. And man, it's such an exciting thing that there's this entire journey in front of you now. But you know, anytime there's a baby born into the family, anytime there's someone that's added to a family, there's always a lot of celebration. It's an exciting time. And I want to encourage you, in heaven right now, Jesus actually said this. He said that if you became someone who repented of their sin, who made him Lord of their life, that all of heaven is actually celebrating with you right now. That they're literally throwing a party because of you. And so if that was you, look, I'm not in heaven. I'm not God. I don't know who you are. But look, I would just love if you could just do me one favor with no one looking around. If that was you, if you prayed that prayer, I would love to celebrate with heaven. Could you just put your hand up for just one moment? You said, that was me. We see that hand. Congratulations. We see those hands. Congratulations. We're getting some Bibles to you right now. Just keep them up until we get the Bible. Once you get your Bible, thank you. Congratulations. Awesome. That's me. You said, man, I made that decision. I'm just going to look around one more time and make sure we got everybody. Awesome. Congratulations. Well, guys, you can look up at me. Hey, look, I want to encourage you. Here at Paramount, we want to make it very, very simple for you. The next step is this. After you raise your hand, you make that commitment to follow Jesus, we have a leader that's going to come up to you and talk to you. Our encouragement to you is really simple. We want you to get baptized. We would love for you to get baptized because that is an outward symbol of what God is doing in your heart. And so we want to help you take that next step. A leader is going to come up to you and talk to you tonight after the war. And so, guys, can we, before we get to the water wars, before we get to all the fun, good stuff, can we do something that they're doing in heaven right now? Can we celebrate big and loud for every person that made that decision?